Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are, the millions listening around the world. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. My name is Jim, and as always, I'm joined by my partner, my friend, my co-host, Eddie. Eddie, how are you?
I'm doing fine tonight. I'm in a good mood. I'm ready to go. I'm ready for some Ranger hockey tonight, 7 o'clock, puck drop, and let's hope the Rangers can continue. Yeah, great play they had against Montreal on Sunday.
Oh, great two periods. Anyway, but I missed the first period. I was watching. I was over a friend's house watching football. I was watching your Jets Jets beat the Chargers, and I missed the first period. But I got to see the last two periods, and that was all that mattered that game.
Yeah, I actually. I was at somebody's house, and I watched the caught the score at the end of the first. I said, oh, geez, not back to this nonsense. But by the time I got home, the ship had been righted, so to speak, and the Rangers were on their way to a big comeback victory, a victory which showed Wade Redden dropping his gloves.
Yes, but not his helmet.
Yes, not his helmet. He didn't take that off. But,
he made sure the helmet was on straight before he started the fight.
Well, you know what? The thing slipping over your dome in front of your eyes.
That's where he keeps the money.
Helmet stuff with the green stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, it was a great game. And, you know, and Doobie and Callahan doing what we want them to do, doing what's expected. And Dubinsky's looked really good of late. And he's really helping the team.
Well, you know, the nice thing with Dubinsky and Callahan is that they're starting to score on a more regular basis. You know, the beginning of the season, I think Callahan went 10 games, whatever it was, without a goal, and everybody was starting to question whether he was ever going to be the scorer that people expected him to be. And now he has started to score on a more regular, consistent basis. And I think Dubinsky's doing the same thing. Dubinsky's numbers, he's almost equaled last year, and he's missed 11 games this season. So, Brandon Do-Nothing, as you call him, all of a sudden.
Now Brandon Do-Something.
He's Brandon Do-Something.
Yeah, no, so, hey, listen. No, I like the nickname when he's doing bad. But listen, I root for him. I want him to do good. What are you insinuating, that I don't like Brandon Dubinsky? I love Brandon Dubinsky.
Of course not. You are a lover of all things Rangers.
That's right. Except Dance and Larry, but we won't get into that. We caused enough controversy on Paulie D's show last night, and
it continued on Facebook today. People chiming in on Paulie D's page. Paulie, the show last night was great, except for that mindless conversation about Pot Fan Sucks and Dance and Larry. What was that all about? And I'm like.
That's all we talked about. I guess we're mindless in the opinions of Facebook people.
I thought it was pretty funny. It continued on into today, like I said, on Paulie D's Facebook. The conversation kept going. But Dance and Larry has his fans. What can we say? As does the Pot Band Sucks chant. We'll get into that another night. But you know, the thing with the Rangers, this is a real. I mean, it's Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, night to night, period to period, game. You know, you never know which team is showing up. It's really strange. I mean, you know, one night they beat Dallas 5-2 and look like world beaters, and then a couple of days later they stink out the joint against Ottawa, losing, you know, that 2-0 loss. That was just terrible. And then, you know, they didn't play much better against St. Louis, and then all of a sudden they turn it around against Montreal 6-2. I if you're a gambling man, I sure wouldn't recommend laying any money on the Rangers, because you never know one night to the next what you're getting with this team.
Yeah, I mean, consistency has been a problem. I mean, although they have been grabbing a lot of points out of, you know, the possible games, but as far as the effort and the intensity goes, you're right. You classified it perfectly as a Jekyll and Hyde. You know, well, you have a team that comes out at home, I mean, and so flat against Ottawa. I mean, everybody was so disgusted after that loss. I mean, everybody was sure it was going to overtime. It should have never even went that far. A team that is constantly was banged up, and they hung around, and then they win the game, and then, you know, then the next night, and then what happens is, again, I mean, St. Louis, the 4-1 loss. And then they come out, and then it's team unity. It's everybody sticking up for each other. It's turned around. They finally look like – and, you know, no, I don't know what to expect tonight. I mean, you know, expect the unexpected, Jim. I mean, that's what it's come down with this team right now. I mean, I love to see them put it together, and let's get this – I want to know what I'm getting night to night on this with this team.
Yeah, it's – you know, and, you know, here comes a – another struggling team coming in tonight, the Lightning. They're not playing well. But, you know, that has become absolutely meaningless with the Rangers. It means
right.
No matter how well you're playing or how bad – no matter how well the team coming in is playing or how bad they're playing, it's absolutely meaningless when it comes to playing the Rangers, because they could just as easily beat the Penguins or Capitals 5-0 as they could lose to the – you know, the Ottawa Senators or the Columbus Blue Jackets or whoever you want to say, you know, the worst team in the league is, they can just as easily lose to them 5-0. It's just, I don't know what the answer is. Maybe Tortorella, you know what, maybe John Tortorella needs to shuffle the lines a little. Maybe that'll
not always work.
That'll get,
I mean, yeah. a little, you know, he should go rogue on us and maybe shift the lines a little bit and, you know, you know, Tortorella frustrates me, Jim. I mean, you know, he kind of talks one thing and then he walks another when it's convenient. And I don't like that. I mean, I know you got to lie and stick up for your players and, you know, can't. I mean, and he has been frank saying the Rangers have stunk the joint up and you know, throwing the F-bombs when describing the Rangers' play. But I guess when it narrows down to pinpointing certain people, yeah, you know, I think we talked about this a little bit before the broadcast as far as Wade Redden goes. He kind of blamed the fans for Wade Redden's terrible play this season and the reason he's pressing and all this. But isn't this the same man who benched him 2 games because he thought he was playing bad? And, you know, again, it doesn't kind of jive with me. I know he wants to protect his players, but just tell me the truth. You can't lie to a New Yorker, let's face it. I mean, you might be able to get those people in Alabama, who I've mentioned before. You know, you might be able to, you know, but you're not going to fool a New Yorker. New Yorkers know what's real, and, you know, especially Ranger fans. But, you know, we're intelligent, we're smart, and we know our team better than I think sometimes the coaches do. And I'd like to see more consistency from him in his comments as well.
Yeah, and his actions, you know, you're absolutely right. It's just, you know, it just goes back to what I said before, day to day, shift to shift, period to period. You don't know what you're getting from anybody in this organization. It's just, they're an enigma. That's for sure. Just to let you guys know, as we're getting ready for the Rangers and Lightning tonight at 7:00, We're going to be joined in a little while by Cassie McClellan. She is one of the writers of Raw Charge, which is the SB Nation home for the Tampa Bay Lightning. She's going to come on board with us and share her thoughts on the Lightning and what's going on with them. And also, just to kind of set the schedule for you guys, tomorrow night we are on the air at 8 o'clock, and we will be joined by former New York Ranger and, as Eddie referred to him, former heartthrob, Dan Blackburn will join us tomorrow evening. And then next Tuesday evening, we have number 4, Ron Greshner, is going to join us. And this just in, Eddie, I have a breaking schedule news for you. You don't even know about this yet. I just made this. I just got the contract signed and the check cut right before we went on the air to make sure that payment is granted to our guests, because we don't want to be in breach of contract like the Rangers were with Mike Keenan. Emil Francis will join us once again on Tuesday night, February 2nd at 8 o'clock. That will be the Rangers actually have a game that night, but they are on the West Coast playing the Kings. So the Ranger game will be at, I think it's 10:30 Eastern time. Emil will join us right at 8 o'clock, and we'll go right up until, about a half hour before the game starts. So Emil will be back, and maybe we'll have some surprises for him that night as well. Who knows? So that's the schedule for the next couple of weeks. Good stuff. I can't wait to talk to Greshner next week. He was really good on Paulie D's show.
Yeah, he was really.
Last night.
I have to say, he was really forthcoming on Paulie's show. I don't know if it was his surroundings, you know.
Or his refreshments.
Yeah, the adult beverages he was imbibing. Perhaps, you know, he was also on with Cassie. You know, he played with Cassie, so maybe he was real loose with Koskowski was around, but I'd love to, if we can get that kind of candor out of him, it'll be great.
Yeah.
So, that Emil Francis, you know, I may have to make a call to Pete Stemkowski, you know, see if we can get Stemmer on with Emil, because Emil was saying how much of a card, a caution, if you will, a funny man, a wild card that Pete Stemkowski was back in the day, cracking jokes. And he probably was when Nick Fetillo came in, which they talked about last night, was, you know, the clubhouse clown before Nicky got there, and then Nicky took over. And right now, the clown right now is not making jokes on the ice. He's making he's doing his buffoonery on the ice. Wade Redden plug a little red nose, red plastic nose right on a parker right there. But Wade Redden is dropping the gloves. He's a team man now, they say, Jim. He's a team man.
He's been revitalized. I'm sure it's all going to turn around for Wade Redden now. Might as well start etching his name on the Norris Trophy and maybe the Hart Trophy.
Oh, boy. Mary Lou Redden, I could say, is not going to be on either of those. He would have probably the most unbelievable turnaround in hockey history for that to happen.
You know, speaking of Greshner, I wanted to make a comment. You put up a video on RangerCrisis.com the other day from a Ranger Ranger Penguin game from, from the mid-'80s. And it was pretty funny. A couple of things about that video cracked me up. One, how much more serious Sam Rosen was back in those days. He was just much more straight laced when he
yeah.
called the game. He not as relaxed as he seems now. The other thing that made me laugh was I forgot about those yellow helmets the Penguins used to wear.
Yeah, that was
they looked like bananas.
Yeah, that was a bad look for them.
One more thought. The other thing that your videos do for me is they remind me of just what a horrible announcer Phil Esposito was.
He was bad. But Phil was just Phil, you know. There was no
he was you know, he just starts ranting and raving about something. And, you know, the game's going on, and he's just ranting and raving and making jokes, and Sam's just barely paying any attention to him. And he was bad. He was just a bad announcer. I mean, we love Espo for some reason. I mean, you know, we love him, and we loved him as a GM, even though he wasn't very good at that either. But it was exciting for fans, like you always say, because the players were coming and going, and you never knew one day to the next who was going to be on what shift. But Espo, he's a piece of work. And it's funny because he ran the Lightning too, and that's, you know, we're going to have Cassie on tonight, and it's just so it's funny that we talk about Espo.
They're actually in the chat room now.
Yeah, John Fontana's
John
in there too.
Cassie McClellan.
Yes,
are in the chat room now. Yeah, you know, Phil. You know, when he, there's like in that video, just the Rangers scores. I really two nice goals by two really obscure Rangers, and but rather than focus on the goals, Esposito is just saying Momento in a stupid play there. Like he's not even. He's just so fixated on making fun and pointing out Mo Mantha's mistake that he takes away all the glory from the goals and he wasn't polished at all. And Sam used to do his homework, but he doesn't anymore. And I've said that, but hey, listen, people, you know, I've been highly critical of a lot of people lately in the Rangers. Lexicon, and I'm going to stop. I'm going to be a poly positive tonight. I'm not going to be a Nelly negative.
you're feeling the heat is what you're saying?
No, I just think that, you know, the karma, you know, I don't want to bash too many people, get on too many people, because it might come back to me, you know? So, I don't know. And so so we're ready. I'm ready to go, and tonight's going to be an interesting game because – again, like you said in the opening, I mean, nothing's a given with the Rangers. Tampa's been struggling. They've got a lot of injuries. I see Paul Ranger, who's my favorite player in the league, because he had – one day he will wind up on the Rangers, and they'll be like, Ranger, and the Rangers. It's going to be a total calamity when they call the games, and I'm looking forward to that because I have a feeling Glenn Sather will have to get Paul Ranger.
The minute he hits the downside of his career.
Yeah, when he's 38, 39, we'll give him a 5-year, $70 million deal.
All right, so we got Cassie's going to call in about 10 minutes or so, and we'll talk to her and talk about what's going on with the Lightning. We'll also take your calls, 646-478-4692. We'll also bring in Mandar in a little while and talk to him. And I had something I wanted you to – I wanted to read something to you. I'm rereading this book that I bought, Eddie, from it's called Losing the Edge, The Rise and Fall of the Stanley Cup Champion New York Rangers. And I thought it was funny. I was reading this story about when the Rangers got in the 95 playoffs, the second round against the Flyers.
Yeah.
And I didn't remember this happening, but – after game one at this Philadelphia Spectrum, the old Spectrum, a fan doused Colin Campbell with beer as he stood up, as he was standing on the bench, and he threw a towel at the fan, grabbed one of the player's sticks and started swinging it in the fan's direction. Right?
Oh, isn't he a penalty czar now?
Well, that's the irony of the story. Campbell was assessed a gross misconduct, and he was automatically fined $200. Right? Now, John Tortorella, of course, against the Capitals, he had the water bottle incident with the fans behind the bench in Washington, and he was suspended for a game. And who was the guy that suspended him? Colin Campbell.
Wow.
With the NHL. So I just thought it was funny that, you know, for basically, you know, a similar incident, Colin Campbell assessed a rougher penalty than he was given when he did, you know, literally pretty much the same thing, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, that book doesn't – I mean, it was a given that the Rangers were not going to continue on their winning ways. I mean, they 94, they had a team that was built to win, not for the future. I mean,
right.
You know, I don't think they were Yep. I don't, you know, I really didn't expect anything. I just wanted one in my lifetime, and apparently I
and
need
And now here
a,
we are 15 years later. We want another one. Aren't we greedy?
Yeah. Yeah. I want them just to be competitive and not a laughing stock. I mean, you know, and it's doing it. I mean, you know, we're all complaining. I mean, and the team right now is a log jam of garbage with it. It's a bunch of garbage. Play that clip. I need to laugh. Well,
Paulie
yeah,
D. Paulie D, where are you? Hold on.
It's a bunch of garbage.
There he is. Hi, Paulie D.
Well, you got, you know, with the Redden and Roosevelt and the Drury, you know, they get in the way of progress. But the Rangers have a lot of young guys, and without drafting high, the Rangers have assembled some great young prospects. And I'm, again, you know, I'm looking to the future. I mean, you know, but I just hope they can get in the playoffs this year and you know, and just get to the playoffs. Because, you know, without playoff hockey, there is something missing. I mean, I know in a practical standpoint, if you're going to stink, you might as well. If you're going to be bad, you might as well be bad, as Chairman Wang of the New York Islanders said. But, you know, from a fan standpoint, playoff hockey is so exciting, you know. And you go to the Garden and, you know, it's just, it's so, I mean, it's electric. People, everybody's rooting for the Rangers in the city. And you go to the bars and everybody's like, we'll get them next time if we don't win that Ranger Capital Series. I mean, how bad were they in the series? Let's talk, I mean, you know, let's talk frankly. Yeah, the Rangers were terrible in that series. If it wasn't for Henrik Lundqvist, they wouldn't even, you know, wouldn't even have been in it. I mean, they were getting dominated every game. But
we said it at the time. You swap the goaltenders on those teams, and the Rangers are out in four games.
Oh, man.
You know?
So, if you could just, you know, this, you know, the Ranger fans are behind you 100%. I mean, you know, and we want to see playoff hockey. Whether it's going to happen, they've got to put a more consistent effort out there. And I just can't get a grasp on where this team is. If you had to describe the Rangers, well, you know they can't score. So what are you going to say? They're a low-scoring team. Do they play a nice, tight team concept? I don't think so. I mean, you know, they don't give up a lot of goals, but would you say that they're, I mean, you know, some nights they look okay, sometimes they look terrible. So,
honestly, I just, you know, we're halfway through January, and I don't think we know anything more about the Rangers now than we did the beginning of October.
The only thing I know is Marion Gabrick can score and, knock on wood, be healthy. That's about
right.
All I know.
That's about
I mean,
it.
You
know, we had Andrew Gross on right before the season, and, you know, he made a funny comment at the time that we kind of laughed about, but it really, as the season goes on, it really makes a lot of, it made a lot of sense. We asked him where he thought, you know, he saw the Rangers finishing this season, and he said, well, he says, you know, I've read all the experts and the other writers and their predictions, and he says, and everybody has the Rangers picked somewhere between 5th and 13th, and he says, and I agree with all of them. He says, because they all make sense, and it all makes, you know, they all have good reasonings for saying why they'll finish 5th or anywhere from 5th to 13th. And I think he's absolutely, he's still right. You know, right now, you know, where are they there? 6th, I think, or 5th. But, you know, it's precarious. Or the 7th, actually.
Oh, yeah.
They're 7th, but they're only 3 points from being out of the playoffs, and they're only 5 points from being 14th. Or, yeah, 14th. So, you know, I still, we don't know. I don't think we know a whole lot more about this team than we did in October, except for, like what you said, Marion Gabrick. And the team, you know, it still all comes down to, no matter what happens, it all comes down to, they're only going as far as Henrik Lundqvist takes them.
Right.
And as far as making the playoffs go, you know, my take is still what it has been all along. I just don't, if they make the playoffs, great. If they don't, it's not going to be the worst thing in the world for me. I just don't want to see stupid trades made at the trade deadline to make some mad dash to the 8th seed to get bounced out in the first round. If, you know, the team as it's constructed, you know, I would expect a few moves to be made But don't move a young player or two to get a wily veteran in here just to make the eighth seed and get bounced out in the first round, which I think that, you know, which we all know they've done in the past. And, you know, I call that Mets disease, you know, thinking you're a little better than you really are and making stupid moves that just don't pan out, at this in the postseason. So, you know, I think they have a few moves they can make. I think Prosper is probably at the top of the list of guys they're going to look to move come trade deadline, no matter what their status is, because he's one of the few, you know, he's one of the few tradable commodities that they have.
Also, yeah.
Unless they want to start moving young players. So, you know, if they're going to stay the course and see what happens, roll the dice, and they get into the playoffs, great. You know, whatever happens, happens. But just, you know, don't make stupid moves to make some crazy frenetic rush to finish eighth just to get, you know, two more home games.
Yeah, they better not. First of all, it's probably going to happen. But we're hoping. No, I mean, you know, come on, listen, let's talk turkey here. We're talking about the New York Rangers, and we're talking about Glenn Seder. I mean, Mr. Magooey just blindly going through all the seasons and the playoffs. He doesn't know what he's doing. He once knew about hockey. He doesn't know now. And what's going to happen, we just got to hope that none of the young guys go. And I'm talking, even the guys like Bobby Sanguinetti, the fastest skater in the AHL, by the way, according to the skills competition or whatever that was. Yeah, skills competition. I get that often mixed up with the NHL shootout. But, I don't want to see anybody go. I mean, there's some guys low on the prospect list, like a Corey Potter or a Sauer. Yes. Maybe you give them a chance to play, or P.A. Parenteau, I know, we're trying to get his guest. He wants to play in the NHL, and they may do him a favor, and maybe the Rangers can get somebody back. But if I see, and I'm telling you right now, if Michael Delzato, can't see him being traded. But if they even talk about Michael Delzato being traded, I will flip out. I will not do this show, ladies and gentlemen, which may actually be good for some of you who don't like me out there. But for the people who do it, they would miss me. Now, Michael Delzato, any of those guys. No young for old. Who could they get to dramatically change this team? It's not like there's going to be a plethora of 30-goal scorers at the trading deadline. I mean, they're going to be available unless, you know, you have, people try to dump salary, which that does happen, you know. And so that's a story. I hope, it's going to happen, Jim. I mean, you know they're going to make some stupid trade. Yeah, so.
I have faith this year.
Oh my God!
Well, I honestly really do believe because I think that in the off season, you know, if you believe at least what some of the word was on the street from some of the more reputable people out there, and I'm not talking about the guy that digs up the Vinny LeCavalier rumors to the Rangers every couple of days like he did again yesterday. The Rangers had ample opportunity to trade a couple of their younger guys like Dubinsky and Callahan over the summer, and they didn't do it. So I'm kind of hoping that represents something of a change in philosophy. We'll see. You know, a month from now, you may be laughing at me. You know, you'll be playing me this clip. You know, like,
well,
like,
you know, let's hope so.
Know.
I think so, the Rangers, you know, a win or lose with this crop of guys. And it's just, again, I have no sense of their team identity. Maybe it's the line shuffling. Every team has guys that are, you know, I keep looking at that San Jose team and I keep getting PO'd every time I read the box score. Manny Malhotra's got 10 goals. Jed Ortmeier's got 8 goals. And I'm going, you know, Jed Ortmeier was not one of my favorites while he was here with the Rangers. But you need those type of guys to, you know, you need those muckers and those diggers. And, I mean, Brian Boyle, I like Brian Boyle, but, you know, what is Brian Boyle? What is Brashear? I mean, he's useless. He's just too long in the tooth. You know, the fourth line has no identity. They should be a bunch of, you know, North American grinders going in there and getting it done. And the third line, and I don't know. I mean,
Ortmeier and Malhotra probably would have been good Tortorella guys.
Yes, for sure.
You know, but at this point, we'll never know unless, you know, unless we bring Malhotra back in 5 years.
So,
all right, what do you say we bring in? What do you say we bring in Cassie from Russia?
Let's talk some Tampa Bay puck, some Lightning puck.
All right, let's welcome into the program Cassie McClellan. She is from RawCharge.com, which is the SB Nation home for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Good evening, Cassie, Jim, and Eddie. Welcome to the program.
Hey guys, how are you?
We're doing well. How are you?
Good.
So what's going on in down with the Bolts? They're struggling right now, from what I understand. Cassie, could you maybe tell us a little bit what's going on down there?
Well, you know, you probably know about as much as I do at this point. the Lightning.
It's the same answer we give you if you asked us about the Rangers.
Yeah. I was listening to you guys earlier, and I was thinking, wow, this sounds familiar to me somehow. But the story with the Bolts is they lack consistency. I think that's probably most NHL teams right now. But in this case, I really think it stems from the fact that Rick Tocchet constantly juggles his lines. Not one line stays together for more than a game and a half.
Well, Cassie, no offense, but we didn't even need you on. We could have just told the same thing for the Rangers and just changed the names.
I know.
I hope we didn't pull you out of work or out of a bar or something.
No. You're all good. It's. No, the Lightning. Contrary to what's going on with the Rangers, the Lightning actually have the talent to win consistently.
Whoa.
Right.
Whoa.
They got Victor Hedman, Steve Stamkos. Let me tell you, this guy is, I mean, he's absolutely awesome. I mean, you know, and his upside is that he's just going to get better. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. That's all right. Stamkos actually he's an interesting guy because everybody sees his offensive output and they think, oh, you know, this guy is just fantastic. But right now he's really very one-dimensional. He doesn't really play defense very well or is very reliable to cover, you know, his own mistakes. So while he is definitely an offensive talent, right now that's pretty much all he is.
Wow. So he's just basically a one-dimensional player. But if you're going to have a one-dimensional player, at least he's putting the biscuit in the basket, so to speak. We got a lot of one-dimensional players over here. They don't even score. You know, and what about Victor Hedman? Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of hoopla around Victor Hedman. I know he's got 4 goals this year and maybe a dozen assists or so. What's your take been on him as far from your point of view?
I think Hedman has probably got a leg up on most rookie defensemen because he actually played in the Swedish Elite League with the big boys. He wasn't playing in the junior teams. He was playing on the main team in the Swedish Elite League for the past 2 years before coming to the NHL. So he's actually been playing professionally for a while against guys much older than he is. So he's doing a lot better than a lot of new defensemen would be. His thing though is that he still is apt to make some neutral zone mistakes, misread players coming in on his zone, and yeah, those are rookie mistakes. Guys will do that. He's 19, so I mean, you know, he's got a long time in the league and. It takes defensemen a little longer to mature anyway. But,
right.
You know.
Yeah, the Rangers are kind of going through that with Michael Delzato, too. And Michael already is their best offensive player and by far. And, you know, he's prone to make the mistake, you know, in coverage in his zone. But you could see, I really think the three premier defensemen right now that are playing at, you know, at such a young age, you know, in the 19-year mark right now is Tyler Myers in Buffalo. I like that kid a lot. Victor Hedman and Michael Delzato. And you know, although there's been some, you know, there's some other young defensemen out there, they've been the three premier guys. And that's interesting to note that, you know, you do have to take your lumps out there as a defenseman. It's a position you have to learn. And the speed of the game is so much faster at the NHL level. And like you said, Victor has had a jump on it in the Swedish Elite League. But you said, now how is he? Is he a hitter at this point? Is he a guy that uses his body? I mean, he's a big boy.
Hedman, he's used to playing on much larger ice. One, you have to keep that in mind. So he's still like getting the dimensions down of NHL ice. But he's a hitter. He's definitely one of those guys. He's a character guy that if someone's, you know, messing with his goaltender, he'll get in there and mess with the guy. So you don't see that a lot anymore where the defensemen will jump to the defense of the goaltenders if they get run. Hedman's one of those guys who will. He's not afraid to hit. He can be a very physical player, but he has a tendency to be really more of a finesse player, I think. When you rile him up, he'll definitely take the body, but you know, day in, day out, he'd be more likely to do a poke check instead of a body check, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, and you mentioned that the Tampa has a lot of talent that hasn't produced. Could you give us some examples of some of these talented guys that you think that just haven't come around so far this season?
Well, the obvious choices that everybody likes to point fingers at are Vinny LeCavalier and Marty St. Louis.
Oh, he was traded to the Rangers for Wade Redden, didn't you hear?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Who's in the Ottawa Sun?
Yeah, I saw that. Actually saw that way before it even, like, hit the news, like, hit the fan. So I saw that a couple days ago, actually. But, and you know, those two guys are actually pretty much in a similar position scoring-wise. But the other thing to remember is that while they're not producing a lot of goals, they're producing a lot of assists. So they're still, like, putting up points. It's just not in the manner that people expect them to be. So they get a lot of criticism for that, particularly LeCavalier. A lot of people see St. Louis as a character guy who is all heart and soul, and you know, they're okay with him not scoring goals as long as, you know, Marty's being Marty. But Vinny's being paid an awful lot of money, so he better score goals. And there's a nice little double standard going on with that I think is completely unfair. But, I mean, you know, that's what people see. The other person off the top of my head who really isn't producing is Alex Tanguy. I'm not sure why that would be. He's been on a few different teams, so he has gone through the process of acclimating with, you know, new lines and new players and new areas and stuff. So he's still finding his way. He's starting to get hot. He actually takes a while to start scoring goals. He doesn't really score much at the beginning of the season, but towards the end he'll get more into that. So right now, the guys carrying the team goal scoring wise are Ryan Malone and Steven Stamkos.
Yeah, well, you know, I just wanted to say about Tanguy, he's the type of guy the Rangers would get, a guy that, you know, it may look like it's over for him, you know.
There's a lot of interest in Tanguy around the league, which I find interesting because he's not playing that well right now. And typically, you know, players that aren't producing don't get a lot of attention. So
they do from New York.
Huh? If they're old and they're not scoring, then New York wants them.
You just read our mission statement.
No, you know, my older sister is a Rangers fan, so and I have another friend who's actually from England who's a Rangers fan.
Around with classy individuals. I like that. I like that.
After you hang up the phone, have your sister call in.
Yeah.
Come on, you're trying to get rid of it, Jim? I mean, you know, come on.
After she hangs up the phone. I didn't say, well, get off the phone and get your sister. Stop it. Stamkos is is he playing on the first line right now?
There really isn't a first line right now.
Sounds just like Rangers.
The Star Trek mirror image.
Yeah, everybody on Tampa Bay has funny beards, that's all.
Yeah. They're tan, that's it.
Mr. LeCavalier, your agonizer, please. Star Trek jokes.
Sorry, we're making Star Trek jokes.
What a bunch of geeks we are.
That's all right. What's sad is that I get them. The top two lines, there's really two number one lines, and any given night, one of them will be number one and the other will be number two. But then there's also been the point where the number one line one night ends up being the number three line the next. So it's really hard to say. Stamkos is typically played with Malone and Saint-Louis, and I think by general consent, they're considered to be the quote-unquote top line. Lecavalier's typically been with Tanguay, and then the right winger for that line has been a revolving door. So, you know, right now it's Halpern, who is actually a natural center. But they mix them up. Sometimes it's Malone, and then Halpern is a center on the third line. And, I mean, there's really no coherent pattern to any of it.
I see. Well, St. Louis, Stamkos, and Malone all on the same line. I mean, that's a pretty potent line. That's 140 points right there from three guys. The Rangers could throw eight forwards on the ice at the same time and not have 140 points. That's pretty impressive for those three. But yeah, with the line juggling and the no consistency, I mean, these are two, like Eddie said, they're the mirror images of each other.
I actually saw the Rangers play this season. I actually live in Virginia, so I saw them play the Rangers the Rangers play the Caps in October.
Uh-huh.
And they're actually playing well.
Well, I wanted to ask you, what's the fans' point of view on Rick Tocchet right now? What are the fans? What are you thinking? You know, you're part of SB Nation. It's fan driven. You know, what's the opinion of him and the overall direction of the team for the future?
There's been most. I think most people are fairly like neutral about Tocchet. They don't really have a definite opinion one way or another. And then you have a smaller minority that do not think he's the right coach for the team. And I tend to fall into the latter category. I don't think he's the right coach for the team. I have nothing against Rick Tocchet. I respect his NHL career. I respect what he's trying to do. But I don't think he's the right coach for this team. And I think that a lot of their problems stem from the fact that he was an assistant coach under dubious head coaches. So he really didn't get to learn the ropes in the way that he should have. Wayne Gretzky doesn't exactly have like a stellar coaching record, you know?
If Tocchet had any bets? Has he put any wagers in on,
you keep me to the gambling
Rick
joke.
Tocchet, I mean, you know, it's a little ridiculous. And I'm going to go off here. How's this guy get another job? He was caught gambling. I don't get it. Pete Rose got thrown out of baseball. He can't even get in the Hall of Fame. Rick Tocchet got caught making wages, him and Janet Jones.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no real opinion on any of that. I just sort of accept the fact that he's coach and deal with it. So, you know, it is what it is.
I know. I just throw that out there because it doesn't bother me. I mean, we're worried about, you know, the game of hockey and, you know, I guess anything goes. So I wonder
what
you're...
Well, I have to look at the officiating for that.
Yeah, really, seriously. I mean, especially with that stuff that went down with OJ. I mean, you know, there's a lot of, there's a lot of things, intangibles that go on we don't know about, and some things that affect the game negatively. And hopefully, Burroughs is not telling the truth. But yeah, I got a feeling there's a lot of truth in what he did say, and no doubt, I think some referees have. Grudges against players. We see it all the time with Sean Avery. And, I mean, Sean Avery is basically persecuted by all the referees.
We see it with Steve Downey.
Oh, right. I was just about to ask you that question.
And what question would that be?
Is there a player on Tampa that is singled out by the refs because he's, you know, he's a guy that will take the advantage sometimes or... you know, maybe go above, you know, below the rules or above the rules or whatever. And you mentioned that it was Steve Downey. And what kind
Steve
of player
Downey,
is Steve Downey?
He actually, I know of his reputation. I know of his suspensions. I know of people having unfavorable opinions of him. But for the entire time that he has played for Tampa Bay, he has actually been a really good player, and he's been pretty disciplined in people trying to egg him on. He'll turn around and skate away. He doesn't take a lot of stupid penalties every once in a long while, but, I mean, you know, most players do. Every once in a long while, they'll crack, and they'll just take a swipe at somebody, even though they shouldn't, and they know it, and they do it anyway. So Downey actually is one of the few players that has really benefited under Rick Tocchet's tutelage. And he's turned into a really good goal scorer for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And he doesn't take stupid penalties often, like I said, and doesn't put his team at a disadvantage. And you know, the guy is 22, and if he can learn this lesson and take it to heart, he's going to go pretty far in this league.
Okay, so there you got it. And now you also you run this. Now what's it called? It's something charge. I forgot the name of it. The SB Nation
Raw Project. Charge. Raw okay. Charge.
Raw Charge. Now you do this with John, and where do you and John Fontana butt heads on some certain players that go on Tampa?
I think the pretty much the only player that we have a difference of opinion on is probably Zenon Konopka.
Oh, he's another tough guy. I mean, you're talking about a guy like to throw the Dukes, a pugilist, if you will.
Yeah, John doesn't really care for Konopka much because of all the fighting and the goonery and all of that.
I love the goonery. Give us more goonery in this league, and I'll be a happy camper.
Yeah, he's really one of those, like, the epitome of being a captain, you know? He will do whatever it takes within the rules to win a game for his team. He sees no personal glory in it. He sees it's not for him, it's all for his family, his team. And he wears his heart on his sleeve. He will take, I mean, he's like 5'11", I think. He'll take guys that are 6'5". If that guy is, you know, picking on St. Louis or, you know, anybody, he'll get in their face in the next shift. He has no problem with that. But the thing with that is that he's very smart about it. He makes sure that he doesn't put his team at a disadvantage. So even though he is leading the league in fights and in penalty minutes, whenever he goes off the ice, he almost always takes somebody with him.
All right. And I mean, and now, who are you rooting in this game? Who are you rooting for in this game with the Rangers versus Tampa? And you really should be rooting for the Rangers because let's face it, you know, Tampa. Yeah, you guys don't really care about hockey down there, do you?
Do you really want to go there?
Since you live in Tampa.
Huh?
I'm only.
You don't live in Tampa, do you?
Yeah, oh, but I did.
Okay.
Yes. So I can give you a first-hand account of hockey in Tampa. And that is now I am originally from Washington State, and I go to Canucks games all the time. So we're talking hockey in Canada, which is the holy grail of the NHL, or so a lot of people think. And so I can tell you that in all honesty, hockey in Tampa is not much different from hockey in Vancouver.
All right. Now, wait a minute. I think now the stuff that High C has been passing around in the chat room has now gotten to you. You try to tell me Cassie McClellan from Virginia is telling me that Vancouver, where they had riots in 1994 after the New York Rangers beat them in Game 7, that Tampa Bay is a hockey hotbed akin to Vancouver, British Columbia? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, sir.
Well, good for them. I'm glad to see that hockey is doing well and is alive down there for sure. I mean,
well, they do have something in Tampa hockey history that they don't have in Vancouver.
Stanley Cup win.
The Stanley Cup. Yeah.
There you go. Give Stanley a tan.
Yeah,
the difference is that in Vancouver the fans will go and watch a poor team, and in Tampa they won't. They won't pay money to watch a team that isn't winning. But the fanship, the fan base, is still there. But they have standards. They won't go watch hockey just to go watch hockey. They want to go watch a winning team.
There's so much else to do in Tampa.
I mean, you know, it's like, oh, gosh, do I want to go watch Tampa lose or do I want to go to the beach? I think I'm going to the beach.
Exactly.
And they're a good team, don't get me wrong. It's just that they need to be more consistent about what they're doing.
Let me ask you a question about getting back to Tocket. You guys, you and John both were instrumental in helping me write a story before the season, giving our readers an idea of what a training camp with John Tortorella is like, and the discipline and the fitness. Does Tocket kind of fit that mold? Is he a similar guy as far as working the players, you know, the tough fitness and the discipline and things like that, or is he more of a laid back type? What kind of coach is he as far as his demeanor and his regimens?
I think when Tocket finally gets himself established in the league as being the kind of coach he sees himself as being, he will be pretty close to what John Tortorella is. He doesn't have the Camp Tortorella, the torts does, where people are puking at the end of, you know, the day. But I think he would like to have that. He definitely focuses a lot on fitness. He tends to be a pretty hard-nosed kind of guy. But I think he lets a lot more slide than Torch does because he's still close enough to being, you know, from retirement, that he's still thinking
okay.
Like a player rather than thinking like a coach. So he's still a bit more sympathetic towards the players than Tortorella is, you know. Torch says, do it my way, it's a highway. And Tocket is – well, I remember what it's like to be a player, so I'll cut you some slack, you know.
Right. Your partner John coined a phrase in that when he helped me write that story that they our readers are still using today. Vomit is a mainstay at a Tortorella training camp. Readers absolutely love that. Actually, some of them now use it as their signature. That's how much they love that line.
I actually think that was an actual Tortorella quote from an article.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
I'm still gonna credit Mr. Fontana with it. He deserves it. Well,
yeah,
Kathy, you guys, we appreciate you coming on. You guys do an awesome job, and good luck tonight, and hopefully maybe we'll talk to you again later in the season.
Sure. I'm more than happy to come back.
All right, and like I said,
joining us.
Feel free to stick around the chat room if you want, but from here on, it's going to be just imbecilic Ranger stuff. So
we wouldn't have it any other way.
I should probably jump on our game thread to start some imbecilic Lightning stuff. So.
All right. Thanks again, Kathy. And John, thanks for being a part of the chat room.
We appreciate it.
Good night.
Parting is such sweet sorrow, Cassie. Sorry to cut you off, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I just want to say,
Cassie, good luck. Good luck.
There's no good luck.
I hope we beat them like bad dogs tonight. Smash, kill, destroy, 9-0 Rangers. We want to be happy.
Of course we want to be happy.
We deserve it.
We are part of a family and network here. We have to, we reach out, especially John and Cassie. They are both very good people, and they've helped us in the past, like I said, with some information when we've needed it. Good people. The devils, the hell with them. I wouldn't wish
anybody from the Debbies. God. How come? I mean, there are a few and far between, but like every Devil fan I know and every Islander fan are complete dopes. I mean, are there any normal people who are fans of these teams? I mean, they're ignorant about the game of hockey. Only Ranger fans and Tampa Bay Lightning fans educated about the game of hockey? Because I have to tell you, the Islander hockey IQ quotient or rating is like around a 4. I mean, the Devils a little bit better because they've seen some quality hockey in the last 15 years, but God, it's just terrible. But but I was just saying, what happened to my good karma thing? I wasn't going to bash anybody.
Yeah, you're
poly positive. I'm poly positive today. You know, it's a bunch of garbage. It's a bunch of garbage, Jim. You know, that's what it is. So anyway, go ahead with your program, whatever you're doing here tonight. Are you here? I mean, where are you? I guess he's gone. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Jim, are you there? I have no idea what's going on. So I will continue with the program. The Rangers tonight, Tampa Bay Lightning. And, I'm looking at this chat room here. I got Jolton Joe Micheletti is here. Ricky O. DeGoon. Ricky O. is trying to look. Speaking of Ricky O., Thursday night, the Rangers are having that viewing party at Foxwoods. And I will be in attendance with my Ranger Crisis Consigliere, Vinny Vasilino. He will be there with me, and we'll be meeting and greeting all the Ranger fans there, along with Nick Fatiu. We'll be there. I'm not part of that, but Nick Fatiu, ex-Ranger, will be there. Adam Graves will be there. As well as Ron Duguay. And Ron Duguay, he always has the longest lines because people love Ron, the women especially. They love Ron back from the old days. They even like him from the new days. And Ron's kind of an interesting guy because he's very quiet. A lot of people think he's kind of snobbish, but he's not snobbish. He's just a very quiet guy. And you would think a guy who's been in the limelight as much as him would not.
Sorry.
What happened? What the hell happened? Cassie McClellan getting a little cozy there? You're a married man.
you don't have to remind me of that. No, we're having a storm here, and I think my internet just took a dump for a minute there. I was trying to get my internet to come back up, but I actually had my cell phone in my hand so I could call back in, and then all of a sudden it came back up. So I apologize for that. Luckily, I'm sure you were able to keep the ship afloat, as always.
Yeah, we was thinking even before the show started, but
yeah,
it was great that your internet went out as I was cueing you to play It's a Bunch of Garbage. But
I apologize.
Don't worry.
It's a bunch of garbage.
And
better late than never, I say.
Yeah. And, you know, talk about the Pauly D show last night. Pauly D show was great. Last night was, for you Ranger fans to know about Pauly D, he runs a good show over there. And he had Ron Gresham.
Great till they put us on the air.
What? Yeah, they let us put on the air. Didn't the show got
it
much
great
better?
To it.
But Ron Gresham was over there, and he said something amazing, and I wonder if he'll say it when we have him on the 26th, about in the old days there used to be 17 guys who drank and one guy who didn't. Now it's the opposite. There's 17 guys who don't drink and one guy who does. And he says that the coaches would do a sniff test and gather guys around to see who was drinking that night or that day or whatever. I mean, it was really candid and it was really forthcoming. And hopefully we can get some stories like that out from when we talk to Ron. So that was good. And, you know, just getting back to it, I was thinking, you know, what's the deal with Envelisa? I think I started this whole Envelisa thing, let me tell you, because I really thought he would be more of a, you know, a lot of people pegged him as he's going to be the like a Zverev type, all skill,
right.
Mental case, guy is just going to be, and he really isn't that. He looks like he works hard when he's out there, but he cannot get a break with Tortorella. I mean, he can't. And I just wonder, what's the mystery with that? I mean, again, it's another Tortorella mystery.
He definitely seems to have a hair up his ass about Leeson, just as he did it with Zverev. Who knows? And like you said, he seems to work his ass off when he's on the ice, but he can't seem to catch a break. Real quick, we got 25 minutes to go leading up to the Rangers and Lightning tonight at MSG. You guys want to call in, the phone number 646-478-4692. We're going to get a couple of phone calls in. Let's get we're going to bring Ricky on. Rick, are you there?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi, Rick. How are you? Bear with us a second there. And I believe, Greg, is this you?
Yes, Jim. It's me. I'm here.
Hi, Greg. This is just so everybody knows, this is Greg from over at Metro Hockey. I asked him to call in tonight and just kind of join the conversation. Greg, this is when one of those times where we just kind of get everybody on the phone and throw around thoughts and kind of a BS session on the Rangers. So we appreciate you calling in. And speaking of BS, you can't. Nobody bigger when it comes to BS than Mandar, so we might as well bring Mandar in, too. How are you?
Oh, what a great intro. Thank you.
Oh, anytime. Anything for you.
I'm sorry, but I didn't want to butt in on your, you know, love fest with Wade Redden, your new best friend.
Oh, please. Look, you know, I'm a friend to everybody. I'm a friend to everybody, Mandar. So anyway, welcome all of you to the program. I appreciate you guys calling in. So, Greg, let me ask you first. You did the interview with Messier on the Messier project. Was it all just done by email, or were you able to? Did you actually speak to him at all?
It was all done by email. Mark Messier is probably the hardest guy on the planet to get a hold of. Did the entire thing through email with his PR specialist, Ms. Audra Silverman. Very professional over there, a lot more professional than another group that you and I have had dealings with. Jim, I highly suggest that if you ever want to get him on this show, you go after him over there because they really are professional.
Yeah, see, and as interesting as I think it would be to talk to Mark Messier, the problem is that what I'm gathering is that he doesn't really want to talk about anything except the Messier project. Like, he kind of sidestepped your questions regarding, you know, his job with the Rangers now and things like that. And I just don't think he'd come on here and be, you know, loosen up and tell stories and stuff like that. He seems like he's you know, kind of a straight-laced, even, you know, dry, not I don't think he'd be a whole lot of fun, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I was shocked that I was able to get him, but in my email to them, I said that I wanted to ask about the Messier project, and I guess they figured I would be asking just about that. But I figured I would try it. I would throw in a couple of Ranger questions and see if he would give an answer. And he kind of talked about what I was looking for, but he didn't give me anything as to his future, if he wants to be GM of the Rangers or any other NHL team. I didn't think he was going to give me an answer. He didn't give me an answer, so I really wasn't surprised.
Right. Now, can I tell your Chad Johnson story? Do you mind?
Please, go right ahead. Spice it up if
okay.
you want.
All right. Now, Ricky Mandar, I know you guys, and Eddie, I've already told you this story, but I'm going to tell it again. And here's what happened. You guys that follow us every day on Blue Shirt Banner, you saw about a week and a half ago, we linked a story for an interview that Greg did with Rangers backup goaltender Chad Johnson. What happened was Greg found Chad Johnson on Facebook, sent him a message, asked him if he'd do an interview. Chad said yes. Greg sent him a list of questions. Chad came back, gave him really good answers. It was a really good interview. And Greg put it up on his website. We linked it on ours. And that was it. About, I guess, a couple of days later, Greg, you heard from Chad's agent, correct?
Yeah, his agent got in contact with me.
Okay. Chad's agent got in touch with Greg and said, you did this interview with Chad Johnson. It's not really him. It's somebody impersonating him. But I've talked to Chad. I explained to him what happened. And Chad said he would, the real Chad Johnson said he would do an interview with you. So, you know, Greg told me about this. We kind of talked a little bit back and forth on it. And then Greg was going to do the interview with Chad Johnson. And then the Rangers, in their infinite wisdom, stepped in and would not allow Chad to do the interview with Greg. Even after the situation was explained to the Rangers and told them, look, you know, somebody was impersonating Chad. He did this interview. And now here's a chance to make it right. The Rangers wouldn't do it. Do I have the story right, Greg?
That's basically everything that happened. And I really don't understand. If Chad agreed to do it and his personal agent, his personal representative agreed to do it, I don't understand why the Rangers have to get involved. I wasn't asking him anything controversial that would cause any trouble or anything. The whole thing was basically glorifying Chad Johnson as this great player. And I guess the human being does not matter. It's just they want to do it the way they want to do it. And I never got a response back from Rangers PR. I'm not going to mention any names over there until this incident occurred. And I don't think we're ever going to get a response back from them. My friend works at the Hockey News. He can't even get an interview over there. He writes for the Hockey News. So the way the Rangers run things over there, I understand to a degree why they want to keep everything very tight, but sometimes they just have to be a little bit more lenient.
Well, Greg, you know, you're very diplomatic, and that's very good. But what they did to you, it's absurd. What you're talking to a backup goaltender who you did a piece on that was just, I mean, it was a glowing piece about Chad Johnson. Here's the other. The player himself wants to make it right. The agent is also wants to make it right. And that, you know, for the lack of a better word, that Ranger PRSS they have over there won't let you talk to him. And it's ridiculous. And they've done this not just to you. They've done it to Jim. They've done it to me. It's like if they don't have absolute control over an interview, they go in panic mode. They need to have you under their button. They need to have you under their payroll for you to even get a chance to talk to these people. And I bet you, you know, it's probably like jailhouse mail where everything's cut out. And if you do get something to them, Well, certain words are left out, or FBI documents that haven't been released yet.
Like Shawshank Redemption, you have to give the messages to Brooksy to deliver with the books.
Exactly. And another thing is that you have teams such as the Capitals who are embracing new media and really working hands in hand. And we've talked about this with other people, writers, players, ex-players. The Rangers do a horrible, and I mean horrible job at promoting their team. And, of course, we know that's why, because they don't have to do any promotion. But their fan relations, unless they're getting money out of it, which is basically all – that's what it's all about, that Blue Shirt United and all that stuff. They could care less about us fans. Greg, you're a fan who wants to cover the Rangers. We're all fans who want to reach out to the players and let people know about our players, and they consistently shut the door on us. And I've told Jim this 1,000 times. We don't need them, because those people will be gone in a few years, and hopefully – they'll get some people that are under the age of 40 and know what the hell is going on on the internet and the new media today.
Well, as Jim was telling me, he said if we keep going, I mean, they can't ignore us forever. And I think we just have to keep going with it. I mean, the Islanders, look at them. They have this site called Islanders Point Blank. It started out as a simple little blog like I have, getting 100 reads a day at the beginning. And now that's the official blog of the New York Islanders. This guy gets paid to do it. The Islanders saw that, they recognized it, and here's a cheap guy that can write for them, and they don't have to pay him all that much money because he loves doing what he's doing. The Rangers, they will not recognize that. I mean, Blue Shirt fans, you guys are 100 times bigger than Metro Hockey, and they won't recognize you. They won't recognize the hockey news if they want an interview with somebody. I probably could not get an interview with the equipment manager if I really wanted to. And when I emailed Mr. Rodasco about Chad Johnson, I offered, I said, I will send you the question. You can forward them to him. You could see what I'm going to ask. Not going to be any surprises here. And I did not get a response back to the last email I sent. He responded to the first two, and that was it. And then even if he could have complete control over it by seeing what I'm going to ask, he still would not allow this to happen.
I mean, it's just a shame. I want to be, and it's not like I've said this before, and I'm just going to end it here because I always say the same thing. It's not like we have a secret to winning. You know what I'm saying? Like, if there was some secret that Chad Johnson could let out, and like you said, even like something negative, which you weren't after at all, would they assume that you're after something negative just because you're a Ranger fan? They're even paranoid of their own fans. And people that cover the team that we're gonna say something against Caesar. We're gonna have Chad Johnson say something bad about Tortorella, and they just don't get it.
You know, I don't even realize. I don't even know if you realize how brilliant the statement that you just made is. They're paranoid against their own fans. I mean, you're talking about. I mean, you know, you're talking about. They have these. They have these arms that are here to help promote this team, like Blue Shirt Banner and the radio and Greg's site and all the other Ranger blogs that are out there that do a great job. I mean, there's tons of them, and they they're not interested. They're just not interested.
Not even just internet or media. Look what they've done to businesses like mine, where they've banned signings now.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you've told us that story, you know, about was it Mark Stahl, right?
Mark Stahl and Tortorella banning the signing.
Eddie, that's the perfect way to put it. They're paranoid against their own fans.
Because the fans see through all the BS. That's the thing. The fans see it. I mean, we're smart cookies here. I mean, for the lack of a better phrase. And we know our hockey. We know our Ranger puck like none other. All the guys that are on the phone, all the guys that are the people in the chat room, we put a lot of effort into this stuff just out of the love of the team. You got Simply JB making friends with Dancing Larry just for the good of Ranger hockey. You got Mandar calling up from Virginia. You got Ricky O is starting his own Get Ron Greshner in the Rafters campaign. Season ticket holders. High C quit his drug habit. Just for the realistic.
No.
I'm kidding. Marijuana intake has gone down. I mean, a lot of people have given their a lot of dedication. And what do we get back? We're viewed as, you know, I just don't get it. They don't understand.
We're viewed as the enemy.
I mean, how,
really?
Is there any other team in any other sport that's treated like that? You're viewed as the enemy. That's exactly right.
Well, they just never want to give up control of anything. I mean, from the slight of that, I bet you they count paper clips and everything else like that too.
It's paranoia. It's really, there's no other word for it and no other way to describe it. It's just complete paranoia.
And it makes
absolutely no, I mean, there's no rhyme or reason why if Greg says to the Rangers, here's my list of questions, approve or disapprove, there's no reason not to answer that. Say, no we don't like your questions. Okay, these questions are fine. No, you can't ask number three or whatever. There's no rhyme or, to not answer. There's no reason for that.
There's no reason for that. When I heard the thing that happened with Greg, I was infuriated, as I'm normally when I hear these kind of stories, but even more so because, you know, even their own, and I'm going to say it again, next week, tomorrow we're having Dan Blackburn on. They had Dan Blackburn on their Ranger radio thing. I heard the interview. It was pretty boring. But, again, they won't even let fans call in. You have to email your questions, and then Jim Cerny reads them to you. Like, even that, they want to be interactive. It's called the fan zone. You know, you go down there. But, they're afraid of everything. What do they think? Like, Joe from Hoboken is going to call in and go, say this sucks. Say this sucks. The Rangers suck. I mean, give us more credit. We're asking intelligent questions. If Greg's request came across my desk, first thing I would do is go to his website. Well, all right, he's credible. Yeah, he writes well. Okay. How long has he been around? Okay. It looks like, you know, he puts a lot into the blog. He's a fan of the Rangers. Everything he says is predominantly positive. Why not? Let's give Chad Johnson. Chad Johnson! What happened if he asked for Chris Drury? Forget about it. I mean, you're talking about a backup goalie who may not even be with the team next year. And they're worried about what he's going to say. And we've been lucky enough to get some guys from Hartford because we eliminate the middleman. You know, we don't go to that.
Well, we just got a different middleman.
Yeah, well, we got to pay the price that way. But still, it's better than dealing with that PR department. They got to get out of the. I mean, they're Puritans over there. I mean, they're repressed, not in touch. And what they did to Greg is just absurd. It's absurd. I can't even get. How do you not embrace your fans? They want to make you pay.
One way to fix it is stop going to games. And I know that the Rangers will never have a walkout like the Pittsburgh Pirates have had over the years where fans just show their frustration and all get up out of their seats in like the third inning and leave. But the Rangers, they pack the house every night. No matter how good or bad the team is doing, no matter how outrageous the prices are. I mean, I'm not old enough to drink, but how much is a beer? Like $9.75 now? Some ridiculous price like that? They don't care. They charge what the market will bear. And as long as people are stupid enough to keep spending that kind of money, they're going to keep doing it to us. And I know that has nothing to do with their PR department, but the franchise itself, it run by the Dolans, all they care about is money. They don't give a crap about anybody else or anything, as we've just established here. They run their PR department like the Third Reich. And just the whole thing, it's frustrating as the Ranger fan to have to go through this. And I always wanted to be a season ticket holder. That was my thing when I was a little kid. I could not wait to get old enough to own season tickets. Now, I don't want to go there 41 times. I can't fathom the thought of having to go to that building 41 times a year. I'll go my 4 or 5 times a year and be happy with that and not go bankrupt trying to see Rangers hockey. It's ridiculous.
Disgruntled and he's not even old enough to drink. Usually you have to be a Ranger fan 20, 30 years to develop this kind of bitterness, Greg.
Yeah, you're on the fast track. You know,
I want to adopt this kid.
You want to adopt him.
it's,
And even for the season ticket holders, and this year I've noticed a lot of people have been selling their tickets off. I don't know if that's just a mirror of the economic times that we're in or what have you. But even the season ticket holders get hosed. There's no promotional nights. They don't get like, Ranger Stick Night or Ranger Puck Night or something. Give them something, for Christ's sake. You up their prices every 2 years, even though the team stinks. I mean, it's always constantly giving the Ranger fan the hose. By the way, I'll be at the Ranger viewing party, which I paid for Thursday.
Why don't you make a quick announcement about that in case anybody listening is going and they want to
say hi. Yeah, I'm going to be at the Ranger viewing party at Foxwoods Hotel and Casino.
You corporate shill, you. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not on the payroll. I'm just going to be eating there at the buffet like a madman. And we're just going to have a good time. We're going to laugh our asses off talking about the Rangers. And we'll watch the Flyer game. And that's always fun. And I the Ranger fans, to me, are the best. And they do give away good – they have trivia questions. They give away sticks and pucks and autographs. Somebody got a Henrik Lundqvist stick last year. I was so jealous. And they talk to the players between periods. It's a pretty good time, and it's relatively cheap. The only thing is they schedule it on a Thursday night. Like, no one's got anywhere to go on Friday. But other than that, it's fantastic. And I'm going to be there, and if, anybody wants to say, hey, hi, Mouth, whatever, we'll sit down, we'll talk Ranger Puck. But, again, it's going to be a good time, and I'm going to be there Thursday. Maybe we might do a little thing. Well, I'll definitely be filming, so you'll see it on RangerCrisis.com for sure. So that's it. That's all I have to say about that.
Okay.
But again, even with that, we've talked about that Blue Shirts United thing, Jim. I know you can take the reins on this one because that's another thing. When you're a season ticket holder, you should get that Blue Shirt United right away. Bang. You don't have to pay an extra $500 for that.
$2,000 to be a legendary fan. $1,994 to be a legendary fan. I love that.
Wait, the place isn't even run that well. They have a message forum and everything, right? Last I checked.
I've heard the message board is terrible.
Or it's a disaster. The moderators are like from Beijing, China or someplace. They don't know a thing about hockey. When the place used to be the old bulletin board, the moderators were from Seattle, and that's a fact, and they don't know anything about hockey out there. Now they're from Europe or someplace. I have no idea. It's crazy. There's no moderators. The people that post there are idiots. Sorry to anybody that's a member there. But nothing ever gets done over there. There's no reason to be a member of Blue Shirts United. I don't know what else they offer over there. And to have to pay for that, that's just a slap in the face right there.
Yeah, I mean, I understand a team in any sport that wants to have a fan club. A team-sponsored fan club, and you want to charge somebody, $50 for an annual membership, and that gets you, baseball sometimes maybe it gets you a pair of tickets to a day game, or maybe it gets you a T-shirt and a monthly newsletter or something. But when you – I just think for an organization of any kind, a sports team, to tell you that they are going to price off – they're going to put a price on the loyalty to their team – and tell you that in these economic times that you should fork over $1,994 to be considered a legendary fan. I think that is the biggest load of crap I have ever heard.
Well, maybe they'll put your name in a brick on the entranceway.
I'll tell you what. You listen to Blue Shirt Banner Radio every week without fail, and I'll put your name on a goddamn brick outside my house. You can't do any better than that.
Oh, I want that. By the pool, Jim. By the pool.
You're all legendary fans. Every last one of you that listens to this show and comes on the websites, you go on our website, you go on Ranger Crisis, you go on Metro Hockey, you're all legendary fans. Nobody needs to put a label on you.
And just another thing, and this gets me too. This is another how they totally snub and they just throw crap in your face as far as the Ranger fan club. The Ranger fan club has been around 40, 50 years, whatever. They have been the fan-run, fan-based. I have a, I'm a card-carrying member. They're nice people, run with, they have the group trips and the whole thing. And they just spat upon them. We don't care about you. We care about – we can do this media blitzkrieg about Blue Shirt United. You remember the days – and I know Ricky and you guys remember this – when they used to say, oh, the Ranger fan club is having a – they would announce it on the air. They would say, you know, they're going up to Toronto or the whatever or, you know.
Sure, yeah.
None of that anymore. It's all Dolan vision. Whatever it is for the corporate dollar – and the corporate advancement, that's all they care. And, you know, we're gluttons for punishment. We love the team. They got us hooked. You know, it's just like, you know, a drug user. They got us hooked on the drug, so they can ask any price they want if you're really that wacko to get at it. And anybody who signs up that is an absolute fool. Absolute fool.
Hey, Matt, they want your firstborn, and they don't really care how they get it. And as you said, we're hooked. So, I mean, the people, more often than not, if you're hooked, you're going to just keep on doing it. And from what I've heard on this show, you guys are smart enough to not fall into the trap and drink the Micheletti Kool-Aid. But for the most part, the Rangers fan base, they're just going to keep doing it.
Mal, do you want to talk about Dolan? The other day, last week, my cousin is 12 years old, and his little peewee hockey team was invited to play at the Garden. And the catch to the whole thing, which made it disgusting, was they charged the parents $90 a ticket to come watch an afternoon hockey game at the Garden.
Come on.
Wait a minute. Who is this?
My little cousin, his
right.
hockey team from up in New York State, got invited to play at the Garden before the it was a couple games ago. It was one of the games they lost at home. And they charged their parents $90 a person to watch the game in the afternoon at the Garden.
Wow.
I mean, that's bull.
It was
costing
the building. They explained it by saying, you know, they needed to pay a Zamboni driver and have the lights on, and that's how they explained
Zamboni's
that.
Already there. I mean, seriously. We got to pay the guy overtime? He does the Zamboni. I mean, come on.
Let Donald Brashear drive the goddamn Zamboni. You
know
what I mean?
Step it up.
What do you think it's like driving? I was gonna make a Morgan Freeman reference to one of the movies he was in.
He looks like Morgan Freeman lately, don't he?
He fights like him.
Well, sure. Morgan Freeman's 72 and marrying his 28-year-old step granddaughter, so I think he's got more spunk than Brashear does.
Ridiculous. Oh,
all right,
God.
So we got 2 minutes to go before we shut it down, so we can all go watch the game. Again, just to bring the schedule up one more time. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Dan Blackburn. Next Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, Ron Greschner. February 2nd, 8 o'clock, Emil Francis will be back on. If you're going to the viewing party this Thursday night up at, where is it, at Foxwoods, you said?
Yep.
At Foxwoods, keep an eye for the handsome man in a Rangers T-shirt. That will be our good buddy Eddie. Make sure you say hello. January 30th, if you happen to be going to the Ranger game in Phoenix, I will be there in the parking lot before the game. We got, let's see, just about a minute to go. Oh, we got James on. Let's get James on real quick. James, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? I didn't know you were on so early today.
Yeah, we're a little pregame edition. So
nice.
Just,
I heard you guys all bitching about everything, so I'm going to do my real quick bitch. Rangers
as well.
On center ice package. I cannot get it in HD. How about you guys? DirecTV. They don't allow it. It's just regular, you know,
no.
Only the regular channels on.
My cable only puts, well, it's center ice. They only put one or two games on a night, HD, and it's very rarely the Ranger game.
Well, the center ice doesn't let you get the Garden in
exactly,
HD.
Exactly, in HD.
Right,
oh,
but if you watch
the
other one on. If you watch the other team's broadcast, most of the time they'll put that in HD, and it's almost better than listening to the Twins anyway.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like, you know, you're paying all this money, too, and I heard, this is what I heard, I called up and I was bitching about some things. It's Madison Square Garden that does not allow it outside the New York area, the HD to be shown to the other, you know, fans outside the area, and, you know, it's totally ridiculous because you're paying all this money every year and you can't get it in freaking HD.
Oh, well, Madison Square Garden, if they're involved, then I understand it.
Exactly. The Dolans.
Yeah.
I told you guys, we got to be banging on the Dolans' door. I told Eddie that.
He did. Well, I think me and Ricky O are going after Bettman one of these days. We know his route when he goes to the NHL to do his show. We'll get him first. after you bail us out of the jail for that one.
I'll be there with you, man. We're going to need more bail money.
And then we'll go after Dolan knocking on doors like you said, Dave.
Because listen, man, I'm supposed to be moving back up there soon. I got some things going on. So I, if that's the case, I'll be right there with you. So don't worry about that.
Oh, that'll be great.
That will be fun. That'll be a lot of fun. I'm hoping. I have some things in the works. If things work out, that's where I'll be calling from next.
All right.
All right, guys. We're out of here.
What is the mail on one more time?
All right. Well, thanks. We got to go now and do your bit.
All right. Thanks, guys.
We're off the air anyway. Okay. All right. See y'all tomorrow night at 8.
Hey, Jim, when is Emil Francis on again?
February 2nd.
February 2nd. Okay, because Jay, the guy who wrote the book, asked me. I'm going to let him know. Thanks a lot.
Take it
okay.
easy, Jay.
Okay, guys. Thanks. Good talking to you.
Good night, everybody.
All right.
Greg, thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you again.
Tomorrow, guys.
I'll be out tomorrow.
Yeah,
okay.
Jim.
Bye, guys.